Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 2, we were talking about putting off the old nature and not letting sin have dominion over our bodies. Let's continue with that lesson today.
Listen as I read Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, and I'll comment on those verses as I go along. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let not sin therefore reign, in other words, be the king, be the ruler, let not sin reign in your mortal body, the body you live in, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members, your members will be your hands, your feet, your legs, your mind, your thinking, your mouth, and your ears, and your body, okay? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your instruments, those bodily parts in your body, your mind, your mouth, and all things, as instruments. You're to yield your body as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. You see, today you have people always looking at worldliness and sin and say, well, we're living under liberty. Well, sin not having dominion over you has the idea not sin, not worldliness, not the former fashionings of the world, but rather now, you are not under the law. You're under grace. If you're under grace, then sin doesn't have dominion over you. The world doesn't have dominion over you. The flesh doesn't have dominion over you. Grace and liberty is no more the freedom to sin. Rather, it is the freedom to do righteousness and to live righteously. That's what liberty is all about. The word liberty in the Bible does not deal with liberty to the flesh. It looks at liberty to the spirit of righteousness. Just understand that the character of the new circumcision is by the Spirit of God, not by hands. And my friend, when you understand that, you're on the right road. Now, secondly, we have already stated, touching on it, but the new circumcision has a greater extent than the old circumcision. The old circumcision cut away, not a part of the heart, but rather just a part of the flesh. It cut a part just away of the body. But my friend, the new circumcision, oh, it cuts from the throne that body of the flesh, that old nature, the whole body of carnal affections. In verse 11, it states, in whom, speaking of Christ. Now, this is not speaking of his physical circumcision as a baby in Luke 2. It rather addresses his death on the cross, which water baptism symbolizes. He put off the throne, the old carnal nature in our heart. Oh, there's victory in Jesus. The body is the physical body, and the flesh is the indwelling sin. The body put off when we are saved is the body that is dominated by a totally depraved nature. Again, the body we put off when we are saved is the body dominated by a totally depraved nature. I remember years ago, I weighed near 250 pounds. It was back in the early 1980s. I went on a diet, you know, I was kind of thick, and I was tired of it, okay? And I was at that weight, and suddenly I started having chest pains for about 2 or 3 weeks. I didn't have insurance. We were poor as church mice and just couldn't afford to do anything about it. So I decided to diet and exercise to lose weight. And did I get a new body? No. It was still the same body, but it was under a different condition. Now, when you're saved, there's no longer a need for the body to be dominated by sin. Whether your sin is greed, lust, alcohol, anger, fornication, thievery, dishonesty, laziness, or whatever. You have the same body, but now you have a new Lord. Now, understand, if you were unsaved and you got in a drunken battle with somebody and they pulled a gun and they blew off one of your fingers. When you get saved, a new finger's not going to grow back, okay? That body's going to be that way until you leave this earth and then God gives you a glorified body. And then the Holy Spirit, when you got saved, came in. Look at verse 13. He says, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," that is, made alive, "together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." You've been dead in sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh is, you're now quickened. That is, you're made alive with him through the spiritual birth. Now, the word sins there in the first part of Colossians 2:13 has the definition of stepping over or missing the mark. It's not the worst kind of sin that's been spoken about. It is missing the mark instead of a transgression of the law. Even our smallest sin, the missing of the mark, tells us that the wages of sin is death. That is, final complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. And since this passage deals with a look at the cross, then we must see that when we sin, just miss the mark or a transgression, we need forgiveness. And all is forgiven in Christ Jesus. As he says, having forgiven you all trespasses. What a special promise that is. Now that word forgiven is defined as pardon. That is to graciously remit a person's sin. It is a gracious forgiveness, not something that is earned, not something that we deserve, not something that out of our own thinking and meditation that we've finally arrived at a point that we have earned our salvation. No, this is something that is given to us out of the goodness of the forgiver's heart. And that forgiver is God. Moses murdered. He murdered a man. But Moses is not a murderer anymore. You see, your worst sin can be forgiven, and it no longer has to sit on the throne and rule in your life. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, God says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." In Psalms 103, verses 11 and 12, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Oh, man thinks he's great in being able to reach out into outer space, but he's not covered even 1% of outer space. Not even 1% of outer space has man covered. And his mercy is even higher than the heaven. My goodness, that is tremendous. Now, my friend, we are definitely guilty of sin. In verse 14, he says, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances." Well, that reminds us of Acts 15:10. "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" In other words, Peter says, look, we weren't able to keep the commandments in order to be saved. Why do we think that anybody else can? You know, under the old law, there was a lot of problems. In other words, they were not to wear two different kinds of material. There was no cooking on the Sabbath. There was no travel over a half a mile on the Sabbath. No work or play. You know, even people that claim to observe the Sabbath today already break those restrictions. And there were dietary restrictions. There are three things or expressions that describe the law as an official document against us. First of all, it is the written ordinances expressed in decrees and commandments that condemn us. And Jesus blots out that condemnation by his blood. And secondly, as it says, it was against us. In other words, it had a valid claim against us. But Jesus took that claim away by his blood. And it was contrary to us because we couldn't meet the claim. We couldn't make the payment. But that bond was nailed to the cross of Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Yes, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. But he washed, not we. He washed white as snow. Yes, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's the sweetest name on mortal tongue. He's the sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. Now, since he hath quickened us, we have Christ in us. We are now a temple of Almighty God. Now, I want you to consider these verses. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that is, worldly desires, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, that is, godlike in this present world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In other words, Almighty God dwells in this body, in our spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now we look at all those verses and it looks at our bodies as temple of God and tells us how we're to handle ourselves. Do you realize that some Christian people are cut out of God's first will for their life, or their time to serve God is shortened, much shorter than God intended, because they don't care for this temple? Some people eat themselves to death. Some people will not exercise. Do you realize if you'd walk just 30 minutes a day, while you're walking, you can pray silently and meditate on the Word of God that you have most recently read and hopefully read that day? This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.